for. Yeah, thank you. Now?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm the secretary, so.
Okay. Hello, I'm Carla. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic. Hi, I'm so grateful to be here. Grateful to my friend for asking me and for making sure that I get to a meeting today. I was filling out the podcast consent form and realized that this month is July is 17 years in program.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I, you know, I think about where I was when I came in. I was 20, just about to turn 21. And I was just at such a bottom. I had heard the year before from a friend. I studied abroad, and there was a friend, we were in Amsterdam, and I had a friend who was not doing any of the things that can be done in Amsterdam. And she was so focused. We were there for school. She was so focused, and I remember getting into a conversation with her. It was also kind of the beginning of people having cell phones, and especially international cell phones, and I feel like she had basically like a phone book, but she would get up every morning and call her sponsor and do writing and do meditation, and I was like, what is this thing? And, you know, she was in AA, and she said, but there's a program like this for food. And it was on that trip that I really realized that I was different when it came to food, because it was the first time in my life that I had been alone. I was living by myself in an apartment. And while everyone else was partaking in the Amsterdam things, I was in my room eating bags and boxes and, you know, going to the grocery store and then just going through all of my groceries in a night, and completely baffled by the fact that I was doing that and no one else around me seemed to be having the same kinds of issues. And then there were also these new foods there, you know, and it was like, it was like being at the circus for me, you know. And so a year later, I kept thinking about going and coming up with reasons not to, and finally I was just on my knees. I had always said, you know, it was like you have these markers, I know them in program as the yes, things I haven't done yet, right? And so for me, it was always, I'll never throw up because it will ruin my teeth. Like, that was the reason. Not because of all the other reasons that I should not be throwing up, but I'll never do this because, you know. And then I did. And so I knew that I had no control, you know, that I was completely powerless over this thing. I grew up in an alcoholic home. And my father was never able to really get the program, get recovery, but he had moments of it. And I think that I really am grateful to him for those moments of recovery because even though he couldn't get it, I think it's what made me willing. It's what made my mind open to some of the language of program. And I still have, he passed away largely from side effects of his disease probably 2 years after I got into program. Maybe three years, I think, after I got into program. Two years after I got into program. And you know, but that big book is like a reminder to me of just the, both why I'm here, the gift of be like the privilege of being in these rooms and having the willingness to stay here, because, you know, it talks about all of the bars to being able to be in this room, and one is just like not being willing to keep coming back no matter what, and the other is you know, not being able to be honest with myself or other people, and that is the cornerstone of my program. And I learn how to be more and more honest every day, every year, every, you know, with, because when I came into program, I had no idea what I was feeling, that I had a feeling, and then I certainly didn't know how to express that in words. So it took going through all of the steps and working with people and, you know, all of the things that we do in here to get, thank you, to get in touch with who I am. I remember I used to, when I was first in program, I had a lot of time for some reason, which was also a gift because I don't have a lot of time now. I work and I have a 10-month-old, almost 11-month-old, so time to really to indulge in the program in the way that I was able to years ago. It just wasn't, it isn't an option today necessarily, although if I had to, I would, you know. But at that time, I was able to go to several meetings a day. And in between, I would kind of wander. I was in New York, and I would wander around the Upper West Side and go to Central Park and kind of swing on the swings and watch, to kind of stroll through the park. Or I'd go to see, I loved going to see matinees or going to Barnes & Noble and just kind of like absorbing culture. But it was really important to me to go and do those things alone because I had no sense of what I found to be funny. You know, what really touched me. It was like I really needed to spend time with myself and identify the things that I actually enjoyed doing because that was so, I was so far from myself. So for me, this program is really about returning to myself. Relearning and acquainting myself. When it talks about recovery, you know, it's like recovering or uncovering this, who I am, you know, this, the, I look at my daughter now, and it's like who she is just so right there. It's so present. And she just is fully in her body, in herself, such a bright spirit. And, you know, I know that that was me, too. That's how I came into this world. And then life piled itself on top of me. And now it's like, yeah, life continues. There's a lot of life happening all the time around me. But I get to do what I can to stay present and to stay open. So I came into program, and I have been in program for 17 years, but I have been abstinent in August. It'll be 11 years, and 12 years free from bulimia and compulsive exercise. It was important. I never thought of myself as a bulimic or, you know, having any kind of restricting tendencies at all because I overate, like overeating was my core. You know, I have a mom who's a compulsive overeater. That's just what I learned. Food was what I learned to use to cope at a really young age. But then I saw that this way that I was exercising or, you know, the pattern of taking in a lot of food and then trying to restrict for days at a time, or taking in a lot of food and then trying to exercise. You know, I remember sitting on the couch with my then boyfriend, and I would like contract the muscles of my stomach constantly, even so that when I was sitting, I was like trying to work off. You know, it was like I could never just rest. And even when I wasn't consciously thinking about it, there was some part of me trying to, you know, or the sneaking and hiding, you know, someone would be sitting in one room and then I'd go into the other room and find a stash or someone would leave and then or babysitting, oh my God, you know, like going in to someone else's space and seeing the food that was there and eating down to a certain point, and, you know, all of the tricks and games and, you know, and really, it was ultimately about, it was a game with myself. It was against me, you know, it wasn't really about whatever. Obviously, in this program, we get to make amends. We get to look at that stuff and be honest with other people a day at a time. But ultimately, it was about how I was hurting myself and kind of holding myself in this position of being less than, in a position of worry. And I find even today that if food stuff comes up, that, yeah, there's the, you know, we talk about the physical, the emotional, the spirituals, three sides of this thing. And certainly the physical exists. You know, if I intake a certain amount of food, it will affect my body, or it'll affect the way that I feel, or it will trigger something in me that makes me want to get rid of it, or, you know, whatever that is. Or the other direction, if I don't eat, it has another kind of ripple effect. But also, it affects, it just affects the way that I, see myself in the world. You know, if I walk into a room, do I feel like there's a barrier between me and you because I'm so out of it, because I'm not really present, because I've been eating, or because I feel so much shame? You know, like shame and guilt is a huge part of this thing. And so, for me, so, you know, it's like when the worry about food comes up today or body, I remember that, you know, sometimes I try to pick up worry to, and I, you know, I see it, that's the beauty of sponsoring people, because I see it in my sponsees that sometimes they'll pick up worry or compulsion or obsession to distract from feeling, you know, to keep, it's like, it's so much easier to focus on what I ate and, or didn't eat, or what I should be doing, or exercise, or, you know, whatever that is, instead of like, oh, I'm really sad today, or I'm in a lot of fear. And so that's where I try to go in those, when the food thoughts come up. So basically, I got into program. The reason I brought up the gap in time is because relapse was a part of my story. But even though I was relapsing for, I guess, really 7 years, or 6 years, every time I relapsed, I could still feel myself getting closer. Mm-hmm. And that was like the keep coming back. That's why that was so important. And it was really painful sometimes to walk in, because before I was in program, I just kind of rolled along not knowing. And it's really painful to sit in a room knowing, having touched solution, and still in the pain of compulsive eating. And yet, I knew that if I kept coming, and I knew because of seeing people in these rooms who have been here for so long or who were just in a different place than I was, that there was another possibility. And so it was like, it was worth it for me to hang on, to basically like not quit before the miracle. And so eventually, first, I hit a real bottom when my father died. I went like heavily into bulimia, because for me it was a physicalization of the feelings I couldn't express. It was like a really violent act, because I couldn't just, there was so much to process and I didn't know how. And so that from there, I had to first let go of that behavior, and then have a year of still binging and not doing anything to get rid of it. I didn't exercise for 2 years. I, you know, wasn't throwing up. I just had to go, like, I couldn't be trusted doing that, so I had to strip it all away. And then a year later, you know, was able to settle into an abstinence in a really gentle, loving way. And that is kind of, that really is a key to my program, gentleness. Today, as I said, I have a daughter. My life is really full. Over the pregnancy was a really huge practice in surrender. Yeah, like, because, and breastfeeding now. I'm breastfeeding my daughter, and I'm eating probably twice as much as I did before. And in some ways, when I realized, like, there's a certain bulimic intrigue that gets ticked by that. And I have to be honest, you know, like, I'm afraid when I stop breastfeeding, what's going to happen? Am I going to be able to, you know, because I'm hungrier now than ever before, and sometimes I go, I cannot actually be this hungry. I cannot actually be eating the end. And yet my body is like, yeah, this is what you need. This is actually what you need to sustain this person right now, and it's okay, and I'm strong, and I'm healthy. And I get to trust that, just like with pregnancy, thanks, I hear that. When I, as I was going through pregnancy, there were moments where I was like, you know, am I eating too much? Am I eating too little? Am I, you know, the water, And my body told me what I needed. And every time I thought, I'm going off the rails, you know, the fear that came up, it was like, nope, my body's telling me what I need. So, again, I get to trust. Like, I get to surrender more and more and more to trusting my body in a way that I never have been able to before. Trusting that it knows. And that goes for the food that I put in or don't put in, but also, like, who I am in the world. I get to trust that when I'm in a room, I have a right to be here. You know, I've often felt like I just wanted to disappear. In the middle of telling a story, I would say, wrap up the story because you're talking too much. You know, no one wants to hear you, you know, and thank you. And today I know that, just like everyone, I have a right to be in this seat. So thanks for listening.